and welcome to a new edition of Mercenary Musings Radio, a bi-weekly audio program featuring mining analyst and commodities expert, the mercenary geologist, Mickey Fulp. We are your most trusted source for in-depth analysis and commentary on commodities mining in the junior resource sector. Joining us on the line is the mercenary geologist himself, Mickey Fulp. And Mickey, the song for this program from their third album, The Surf Lords, this tune is called Rincon Bop. It is a real bopper indeed. We are going to be bopping through the periodic table once again, and you have chosen for this edition of the program, Mickey, boron, number five on the table.
Yes, sir. Mm-hmm. Boron, it's a metalloid, low abundance on the earth, but it is a very important industrial mineral. It occurs as water-soluble borates and evaporite basins, basically dry or seasonally dry lake beds. Occurs in Turkey, the U.S., the Atacama and Pacific Coast deserts of South America. Mm-hmm. Basically, Tibet, anywhere where there's high intermontane basins and closed basins, that is.
Okay, once again, when you look at the history of this, Mickey, and its discovery, a very familiar name pops up, Sir Humphrey Davy. He's all over the place when we talk about discoveries in elements on the periodic table.
Well, he is, but in all actuality, this started way back when the Babylonians used borates in around 4000 BC, known from China in 300 AD, talked about by a Persian alchemist in the year 1700. Marco Polo brought it back to Italy from China in the 1200s, and Agricola of geology and metallurgical fame in the 1500s, it was sodium borate, which is what the main minerals are, is used as a metallurgical flux and actually to purify gold.
Okay. I came across a very interesting quote, Mickey, and I'm going to run this by and see if you agree with me. It's being described by a university professor in this way. Boron is a truly schizophrenic element. It's an element of complete frustration. It doesn't know what it wants to do. The outcome is something horribly complicated. Does that sound just about right to you?
I have no idea what that guy's talking about.
Okay.
It makes no sense at all to me.
No sense at all to you, eh?
Okay. No. You know, it's it does not occur in its native form, and it's very hard to purify into its native form, boron, from the minerals borates, borax. We all know about borax. But it is in great demand, well over 4 million tons a year, mainly used in the fiberglass and ceramic business as a toughener. Glass fibers, borosilicate glass, chemicals, agricultural fertilizers, it's a required nutrient for all life. Detergents, which is probably the way most of us are familiar with it, with things like Boraxo and 20 Mule Team Borax. You know, it brings up the memories for me of a show back in when I was a kid called Death Valley Days, a TV show, sponsored by 20 Mule Team Borax, and there's a lot of history in that realm.
Mm-hmm, indeed. And you mentioned some of the producing countries earlier, Mickey, Turkey, Chile, Argentina. How much is produced globally today, and what's the supply-demand equation like?
Well, it's about 4 to 4.5 million tons a year. The great majority of that comes from Turkey and the U.S. In the U.S., it is one of the few minerals in which we are a net exporter. There's two mines, the old U.S. borax mine, now owned by Rio Tinto in Boron, California, which grew out of the Pacific Coast Borax Company, a famous guy called Borax Smith, and then also a place where I actually worked for a while out of Trona, California, Searles Lake, California. Both these areas in the very dry Mojave Desert, and it's produced from brines there. Mm-hmm. So the other countries, Argentina, Chile, Bolivia, Peru, etc., a little bit from China, those are very much subsidiary suppliers. Mm-hmm. You essentially have an oligopoly, if you will, between the United States and Turkey. The Turkey Eti Mine Works government monopoly in Turkey, the aforementioned Rio Tinto, an Indian company actually now owns the Searle Lake brine production. But those three entities probably control something about 90% of the market in the world.
Okay, and these are open pit operations, correct?
Depends. The Searles Lake is a brine operation. Mm-hmm. Rio Tinto, the giant U.S. borax mine there in Boron, California, is the largest open pit mine in California. The Eti Mine Works, there's four or five mines there, and to be honest with you, I don't know if those are underground or open pit. I suppose they're open pit mines, but it all has to do with grade, and these two entities that actually mine conventionally have very high grades compared to the rest of the world.
Okay, and when you have a market being controlled by a very small number of companies, what do we see in price movement?
Well, there has been significant growth in prices over the last few years, from about $450 a ton to $650 a ton in 2014. Do the math, that's about a little less than $3 billion annually of borate sold. So this is not a small market. It mm-hmm. is controlled by major mining companies, and as I've said, it's essentially an oligopoly. So I would say there's very little room for other companies to enter into this market. Mm-hmm. There are some very good deposit and development in Serbia. The demand is really driven by Asia and South America, increasing demand. China has lots of low-grade resources, which are in capitalistic society would not be economic, so they're very, very much net importers.
Yeah, and when you consider the long list of uses for this, Mickey, this is an element and this is a material that's in growing demand every year, I would imagine.
Well, it apparently is, as the world economy grows and more people enter the middle class. But it has over 300 applications worldwide. So this stuff's used for a lot of stuff. Mm-hmm. But once again, dominated by the glass and ceramic, agriculture, and detergent businesses. But you just go down the list. There's just innumerable uses for boron. Mm-hmm. One of the ones that's gotten a lot of press over the last few years with the rare earth boom was neodymium iron boron magnets used mm-hmm. in every little electronic device we own, and also an integral part of wind generators. The detergents, Boraxo, we've got things. It's also used as neutron absorbers in the control rods of nuclear reactors, turns fireworks green, wood preservatives, rocket fuel igniters, lots of uses for borates.
Yeah. And I'm seeing that agricultural uses are consumed about over 10% of it, global production.
Yes, it is.
Yeah,
very important.
I would see that as a real
plant
growing
nutrient.
Area. I would see that as a real growing area because, you know, the demand for food just gets greater and greater every year, and the amount of land and decent growing areas of the world seem to be shrinking.
Well, your point's well taken there, and I haven't really looked into the increase of ag demand, but I certainly think that would occur. Really, the real driver for demand, though, over the last few years is for fiberglass.
Hmm. Investing angle here, Mickey, is there a pure play on this?
I do not see one. I do not know of any mining plays on this with the oligopoly that exists, the cartel, whatever you want to call it. This big boy football, and I don't see any juniors entering into this business.
Okay. Does that pretty well take care of this one, Mickey?
Oh, I think so. Okay. Don't know what else to say.
Okay.
A very interesting element that has a lot of history. Mm-hmm. You know, there essentially was no significant demand for this until the 1870s, and this guy, Borax Smith, made the major discoveries in the deserts of California and Nevada, and essentially created the market and branded it. The guy was a genius in promotion and branding with his 20 Mule Team Borax. You know, as an American kid growing up in the 60s, we all knew about 20 Mule Team Borax. He appeared in the World's Fair in St. Louis in 1904, the opening of the Golden Gate Bridge. They sent a 20 mule team across that. At one point, they went from California to New York with a 20 mule team. Took a couple of years. Mm-hmm. Made their last appearance in 1999 at the Rose Bowl.
Oh, cool.
Unfortunately, 20 mule team Borax was taken over a few years by the Dial Corporation, which is now owned by a German industrial company.
Okay, great history lesson there. Fascinating, yeah. Fascinating stuff, Mickey. I guess we're gonna try and squeeze in one more show before the curtain comes down on 2015. What are you thinking?
Yeah, I think we should. Generally, we do some sort of review, so maybe that's what we do. Either that, or we'll progress through the periodic table. The next one up on that will be nitrogen, which is a very important element for agriculture once again.
Okay, good stuff. Rincon Bop by the Surf Lords is warming up in the background. Mickey, we'll wrap it up there, and we'll talk to you in a couple of weeks.
Okay, righto, Rob.
That's Mickey Fult, the Mercenary Geologist. You can find him on the web at mercenarygeologist.com, and you can always hear Mickey's latest opinion exclusively on mercenarygeologist.fm and kitco.com. I'm Robert Graham at Mercenary Musings Radio. Thanks for listening.